You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God.'" Verse 5, "Then the devil took him to a holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus said, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will fall down and worship me.'" Verse 10, "Away from me," Jesus declared, "for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Verse 11, "And then the devil left him and the angels came and ministered to him." I came to tell you this morning that the government of heaven is established by assigning the honor of heaven. The title of this message this morning is Governed by Honor. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we declare, have your way in this place. We don't make room for you, we give you the room. Lord, I declare right now, give us ears to hear, give us hearts to receive, give us minds to understand what your Spirit is saying. Father, I thank you that your word is alive and it's true and that every man's a liar. We declare that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We say no spirit, but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. We say fear, you have to go. We declare anxiety, you have to go. I say spirit of confusion, you Jezebelic spirit, you have to go. We declare right now, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Father, I thank you that no one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Teach us your honor. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said amen and amen. At Mercy Culture Church, we have values that we put in place. We have the vision of our church, our unique characteristic. We have standards of leadership. And about a year ago, we developed these values. And we got these values, there's been 10 values, and we got these values by asking two questions. Number one is, how do we behave when we're at our best? And number two, how do we behave when we're at our worst? And those two questions led us on the journey of establishing these values that we live by. So when you go through MC Connect, we teach about these and we equip you with these. And so all of the leaders, all of the serve team members of the church, we operate by these values. And so some of them are health. Leaders go first. I love this one. This is my favorite. Forgiveness is not an option. Because the moment you stop forgiving is the place you stop spiritually growing. If you can't forgive, you can't lead. We have a value of trust, so we say this beautiful thing. We say lean into awkward. You know where we get lean into awkward? Because there's always a moment in a relationship where things get awkward. And then when things get awkward, what do? They pull away. And when things get awkward at Mercy Culture with the members and leaders, what we do is we lean into it because that's where we develop great, healthy relationships. I've had pastor friends ask me all, they say, you know, how's Mercy Culture accomplished so much in a year and a half? And I say, because one of our values is empowerment. And so what we do is we trade empowerment, we trade leadership for teachability and humility. And so at Mercy Culture, you can join the church in 1 week. You don't have to go through a 12-week Old Testament survey, 12-week CIA interrogation. Then you go through a 3-year membership. Then you donate blood and plasma, and then we let you hold the door. Anyone been through church membership like that before? You're like, Mike, what? I just want to serve. That's all I want to do. So we empower people like crazy, but we say this. We're going to empower you, but you got to be teachable and be humble. We're going to let you run before you walk, but if you run in the wrong direction, you're going to have to correct yourself. So these are the values. But I felt in my spirit that something was missing from these sets of values. And there was a principle that was in our life and in our heart that I did not see demonstrated throughout the leaders all the way down to the serve team and in the congregation of Mercy Culture Church.
And so this summer, the elders went away to pray, and we do this twice a year. And we ask the Lord to speak his heart and his mind for his people and his church. And we just petition heaven. And as we were praying, I heard the Holy Spirit say that the church was going to be birthing honor as the Penates were birthing baby honor. So the Penates are members of our church. Pastor Steve is one of our pastors. Esther is the administrator over at CCA. Come on, put your hands together if you love the Penates. And this is little baby honor that they gave birth to about a month ago. And as we're at the elders' retreat in May, the Lord says, as the Penates are birthing honor, so is mercy culture. So this morning, I'm going to give you our latest 11th value of Mercy Culture Church, and it's the value of honor. So we say we're governed by honor. Honor reflects heaven's value. Honor protects freedom. It creates safe places and reflects a kingdom identity. Honor is about self-control, not control. I'm going to give you this again. These are the elements of honor. Number one, it reflects heaven's value. Number two, honor protects freedom and creates safe places. Number three, honor reflects a kingdom identity. And number four, honor is about self-control, not control. So why do we say we're governed by honor? Because honor means to esteem or regard highly. Government is the administration or rule, the moral conduct of ruling behavior. So what we're saying is this, is we want our ability to highly esteem people, highly esteem God, be our ruling behavior. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you want the definition of honor in the Hebrew word for honor is the word timao, which means this, to properly assign honor. It reflects a personal esteem attached to the beholder. So here's this, when we are honoring someone, the proper assigned value is not the value that someone earns, it's the value that Jesus paid for. So what we've done is we've determined who is valuable enough to honor and who is not. When according to God's word, God sets the value for his people, not us. It's our job to properly assign value. And I think we've done a poor job of it. Over 200 different scriptures on honor in the Word of God. Humility goes before honor, Proverbs 18:12. Women of grace obtain honor, Proverbs 11:16. We're instructed to honor widows, 1 Timothy 5:3. We're instructed, millennials, not to honor ourselves. Proverbs 25:6, honor comes from the heart. Isaiah 29:13 says that you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Honor is a culture of heaven, or it reflects heaven's value, not our own value. Now, I can't express how important this is in election season, where it's not a choice between candidates, it's a choice between which party, which individual reflects heaven's value the most. Watch this, honor releases miracles. Mark chapter 6, he, Jesus, went away from there and came to his hometown. His disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? Where is this wisdom given to him? How are these mighty works done by his hand? Isn't this the carpenter's son, Mary, and his brother of James and John, and Judas and Simon? Are these not his sisters here with us? Look at this. And they took offense at him. You know what? The spirit of offense will always diminish your ability to honor. If you didn't listen to that podcast sermon, it's on our podcast and YouTube when the fast's over. And Jesus said to them, watch this, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, or watch, the place people get familiar, among his relatives in his own household. Look at this, verse 5, look at it. And he could do no mighty work there. Y'all, this is God. But there was no mighty work done, or there weren't many miracles done where there was no honor. Is there a chance that you're waiting on a miracle that won't be done because there's not honor in your life. This is heavy stuff. Jesus was hindered by the lack of honor. We are called to be people of honor. Who are we supposed to honor? We're supposed to honor God and we're supposed to honor people. Number one, honoring God. How do we honor God? We honor God by honoring his Trinity, his personage. Matthew 29:19, it says, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you become a member of Mercy Culture Church, every single person, once they go through MC Connect, you get a personal ministry plan. And when you get your personal ministry guide, it walks you through the Lord's Prayer, not repeating the Lord's Prayer, but walking through the Lord's Prayer. And we begin our time with the Lord every single day, declaring the Father is holy, Jesus is so holy, and the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is holy. We begin our daily encounters with God by assigning the proper honor to the Trinity. And what this does is this positions you to encounter God. Most people don't encounter God because they don't know who God is. That's why we pray every week, teach us your ways that we would know you and find your favor. I'm going to pass to you today. Get ready. The next way we honor God is with our money. It's a good time to hit the door. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Read it again. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all of your produce. Do you know why people don't tithe? They don't tithe because they think their money belongs to them. Now, the good news is I'm going to teach on money because I'm teaching on honor, and we're not taking a special offering and there's no manipulation. A lot of times churches, they talk about money when they need it. That's not what we're doing. I'm teaching because this is my job as a pastor, is to teach you the word of God. And a lot of you have dishonored the Lord by your giving. The Bible says to honor the Lord with your wealth. You know what's incredible is that there's this great stark debate over tithing. And a bunch of people don't believe in tithing and they can't wait till someone says something against tithing and they're like, phew, I don't have to give. And really what you're saying is, phew, I don't have to honor God. Leviticus 27:30 says this, a tithe, 10% of everything of the land, whether grain, soil, the first fruit of all the trees, look at this, belongs to the Lord and it's holy unto the Lord. People say, I can't afford to tithe. You don't have an affording problem. You have a value problem because you value Toyota more than you value God. You value Verizon. It's amazing. If you don't pay that Verizon bill, they turn it off. But you place value there and then want to talk about the church only wants, oh, the church only wants my money. How can we want your money when you don't give? It's a beautiful thing when you honor God, because then what happens is you see the hand of God come in your life. We have a giving church. We have an obedient church. From what we've tracked of our members, it looks like close to 90%+ of our members are faithful, obedient givers to God. But here's the question, is that are you honoring God with everything? And you love people say, well, you know, tithing is Old Testament. No, greed's Old Testament. So how could it be Old Testament if Abraham tithed before Moses wrote the law? What you mean is you found a YouTube video that will partner with your greed. Well, tell me where Jesus said to tithe. Sure, Matthew 23:23, Jesus says tithe. But don't forget the greater things, the more important things is what he says. Listen, this is we are never ever arguing with somebody about giving to God. So let me get this straight. He gives you everything and you're arguing over your tenth. He gave his life. You know what's crazy? Some of us tip waitresses better than we tithe God. You're like, oh, you didn't give 20%? You're cheap. And you're like, I'll throw in a 20. Good sermon, brother. Good sermon. Keep your 20. See, this is so important because watch, this is reflecting our heart issue. Let me help you. If you're upset right now, and then you have a greed problem. People that are honoring God with their money aren't upset right now.
I can't wait. We're getting out of here. The moment he looks the other way, we're going to the door. Go for it. 3, 2, 1. I've been out in the pulpit 4 weeks, coming in hot, coming in hot, coming in hot.
Exodus 22:29 says, do not delay, offer the first. Look at this. I love this. Genesis 4, it says, in the course of time, verse 3, Cain brought some of the first fruits of his soil to the Lord. But Abel brought the fat portion of the firstborn of his flock. Look at it. The Lord looked on favor with Abel, but he did not on Cain look on favor. So Cain was angry. Isn't that the case? We don't value God, and then we're mad. I'm mad at God. I'm mad at that preacher with no socks. I got socks on there, booty socks, okay? But this is what we do. This is why people don't tithe. Let me help you out. They're either unaware, they're greedy, or they're afraid. And in all three cases, you need to assign the correct value on God. Honor means we value him. Honor means we love to give to him. Honor means we assign a proper value. Let me just teach one quick moment. Just if you're not a member of this church, I'm not talking to you. If you're a member, I'm talking to you. I told you I felt honor was missing. This is a generous church. We're a generous church. We did a Heart for Mercy offering. 600,000 came in. We have a new sound system order. We have new stage ready. We have new carpet that's coming. Everyone say goodbye, red carpet. Come on, Shay, baby. Okay. We're loaded at the children's church. We're about to redo this wing over here as soon as we can. And there's so many amazing things happen. We are generous people. But there's one area that this church hasn't been honoring. And that's when we have guests come in. And every time we've ever had a guest, we have a lot of guests that come in because we want to bring you amazing men and women of God that will come and bring the word and bless you. We have these world-renowned speakers and leaders and fathers and mothers that come in this house and pour into this house. And not one time has the honorarium or the money that have come in for a guest ever been to the degree that I said that's honoring. I'll put it this way. The church has always given more than the body has given when a guest comes in. And it's interesting. They call it honorarium. When we have a guest that comes in, we need to make sure that we assign a value to that. When there's a word that comes for the house, we need to assign a value on that. If Pastor Tom comes and ministers and brings life as a father and blesses you and your family, you need to assign a value to that. So I want to encourage you, don't miss out on an opportunity to honor. Number two, how do we honor God? With our bodies. If you thought giving was bad, here we go. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For God bought us with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. I'm going to pastor you this morning. Sex outside biblical marriage is sin. If you are living in sin, if you are having sex with someone that's not your spouse, you are in sin and you will stand before a holy God. And if Jesus came back now, I would not want to be in those shoes. And there needs to be a fear of the Lord that you know that you need to honor God with your bodies. Let me teach on it here. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality. It doesn't say scroll on Instagram's pages. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but sexually immoral person sins against their own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple with the Holy Spirit within you, whom you are from God? Look at this, look at this. Don't tell me down. You are not your own. I need to say that again for the Zers in the house. You are not your own. My body, my choice. You are not your own. Honor God with your body. Ladies, if a man will sleep with you without being married and have covenant with you, he doesn't value you. And if he says love you and you allow him to love you, it means you don't value you. There's no way around this. How are you shouting on Sunday and then Friday? You wonder where the power is in the church. You wonder where the miracle's at. Where's the honor? See, when we begin to honor God, that's when God's power, God's government shows up. Look at this. Romans 1. I got more for you. We're not done. For although they knew God, they did not honor him. I'm going to read it again. This is the church in America. Although they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise, but they were fools. Verse 24 says this, therefore God gave them up in their lusts, in their heart, to their impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Verse 26 says this, for this reason, God gave them up to their dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations for women who were consumed with passion for one another, committing shameless acts with one another, receiving for themselves due penalty of their error. Homosexual practice is sin. And it may be legal in America, but it's not lawful in the kingdom of God. And if you're struggling with same-sex attraction, don't let this applause fool you. That's why I dealt with heterosexual sin first. Because everybody's flavor of temptation is different. But it doesn't matter what you're tempted with. It matters how you respond to your temptation. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I was born like this. I know, but John 3 says you must be born again. We've given in to the lie of the world. We just love each other. You lust each other. Godly love is the perfect love. It's a love of choice. It's not a love of feeling. I'm so glad that Jesus chose to die on the cross and love me when he didn't feel like it. I'm going to pastor you today. If you are a Christian, it means you're a Christ follower. Let me pastor you. There's no such thing as a gay Christian. There's no such thing as a heterosexual Christian, a divorced Christian, a lying Christian, a confused Christian. Look at, we are just Christ followers. You can't put nothing in front of it. So let me help you. There are six scriptures that directly contradict homosexual practice. Six. And there is not one out of the 31,000 scriptures where Jesus, Paul, Moses, Peter, any disciple, any prophet, there's not one scripture that supports it. In fact, I'm about to teach you on honoring husbands and wives, and there is no scripture that talk about husbands honoring husbands. Because there's nothing to speak to because God doesn't endorse it. Watch. Am I saying that you can't have struggles? Of course, we're all struggling. Same thing with a married man who's struggling to honor God with and his wife with his eyes. So we are all struggling. We all have issues. But this is the thing, is we can't give in and let our issue become our identity. Yeah. Scripture says to flee from immorality. Heterosexual immorality, homosexual immorality. Listen, purity is about living holy one day at a time. You know what I hear more than anything as a pastor? Land, am I going to have to struggle with this my whole life? Nope, you might just struggle today. And then you might struggle tomorrow. But the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. The only thing you do is be holy today. The only thing you do is take it to the cross today. The only thing you do is deny your flesh today. That is what you do every single day. And let me tell you, no matter what you're struggling with, you're welcome at Mercy Culture Church. And there is no temptation that's more powerful than His mercy. This morning, if you're in our congregation, it's a rowdy group. But if you're struggling with same-sex attractions, I want to let you know we love you. You're welcome here. And we're going to stand with you. Can I get an amen? Put your hands together. Come on, make more noise to support people. Why am I leaning in so heavy to this? Because it's so important that you honor God with your body so that you could have proper worship. 2 Timothy 2:20, it says this. It says, now in a great house, there are not too many vessels of gold or silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use. So set apart as holy, useful to the master's house, ready for every good work. Church, we must honor God. Number two is honoring people, honoring marriages. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman who is a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life, so that your prayers not be hindered. Husbands, if you don't honor your wives, your prayers won't work. How about Colossians 3:19? Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Who's wrote that one and put it on their dashboard yet? If you are harsh, oh, I'm just tired and grumpy. No, you're not. If you're that way every day, that's your character. And you're disobedient to God's word. He says, don't be harsh with them. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. My friend's been married 3 weeks. I was married 3 days. I was like, Heather, submit. She's like, give me something to submit to. I'm like, you're supposed to honor me. She said, you're supposed to love me like Christ loved the church. You ain't doing that. For real, husbands, do you honor your wife or are they your trophy? Because I know in Texas, there's a lot of trophies. See, here's the thing. If we do not honor women, we won't empower them to be who God's called them to be. And because there's been such dishonor on women, this foul spirit of a feminist movement has risen up to take their own value because the proper value has not been assigned. So watch. So then you have women marching in streets with foul words and foul signs and foul agendas. Watch this. And then this is where people get upset because they say, oh, no, we have a good agenda. You cannot align a good cause with a foul spirit. But when we honor women correctly, we will see them fulfill the call of God on their life. Ladies, this is your scripture, 5:22. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. You are the greatest witness to your husband. And you know what happens when you begin to honor your wife and husbands and wives, you begin to honor each other, you become a power couple. And if you don't, you're a broken couple. But when you begin to assign heaven's value, you see miracles released in your marriage. We're called to honor our parents. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord God has gives you. I want to teach for a moment. There's a difference between obedience and honor. Kids are supposed to obey. Children are supposed to obey their parents. But grown children are supposed to honor. And adults of grown parents aren't supposed to control their kids. This gets difficult because how do you honor in a tough situation when you're an adult child with a controlling parent? So practical advice, what do? You ask the Holy Spirit. If you're in a hard situation with your father and mother, what do? You ask the Holy Spirit. I knew a pastor who, his father was a pastor, and they had a massive fallout. And the father that was a pastor said to his son that was a pastor, I'm disowning you, you don't have my blessing, and you're no longer my son. Yeah, these are both pastors, praise the Lord. Years went by, and there was no relationship and no contact. So this pastor that I knew asked the Lord, and he said, what do I do? Lord, how do I show my dad honor when we're not even in a relationship? We don't even talk. How do I show him honor? And so what he determined in his heart to do, he was having his first son. So he named his son after his dad to show honor. There will always be ways the Holy Spirit will show you how to honor when relationships are hard, torn, or even abusive. Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll instruct you. Elders, we're called to all honor elders, church, and spiritual leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. This is very, very important because we're in a society, in a church culture that doesn't honor, what we do is we dishonor. And you got a 25-year-old that just graduates Bible college calling out ministers on social media that have been serving the Lord for 20 years. Getting on, I disagree with you, and just this, the chaos that interrupts. Now listen, we don't honor the behavior of a person, we honor the office that they walk in. We have to reinstate honor in our hearts according to scripture for men and women of God. I never call our apostolic elders and my spiritual fathers by their first name. I'm never like, hey, Tom, let's go golfing. Every time it's pastor. Because I want to make sure that I'm assigning the proper honor to that relationship. I am looking, listen, I don't need another friend to golf with. I am looking to receive from the anointing of God that's on their life. So I'm going to assign the proper value. We have to carry honor in our hearts again for the things of God and the people of God. When we purchased this church, back in this facility's back in December, Pastor Bob Nichols was the pastor of the church prior to us coming here. And we did something that I felt like we were supposed to do to honor his 50 years of ministry. There's a parking spot that says pastor that's over by my office, and we've owned this church for this facility for about 7 months now, and I've never parked in that parking spot ever. And I'm the pastor of the church. And Pastor Bob says, well, you got a great parking spot there when we were buying the church. And I said, Pastor, that's yours. I won't ever park in it. He's never even used it. But it's there as a sign of honor. Listen, if you leave a church and you were poured into for years, don't leave with dishonor. If they poured years into you and then you had a bad taste in your mouth as you left, choose to leave with honor. Choose to transition with honor. Choose to speak with honor. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're going to go in now. Honoring authority. Submit yourselves, 1 Peter 2:13, for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether the king or supreme authority. Verse 17 says this, treat everyone with high regard, love your brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. Romans 13:1, everyone must submit himself to governing authorities, For there is no authority except from which is from God. The authorities that exist have been appointed by God. Consequently, whoever resists authority is opposing what God has set in place. I'm not going to get political. I'm going to get spiritual. The moment President Trump was elected, the first headline I saw on Twitter was "The resistance has just begun." Whoever resists authority is opposing what God has set in place. I have never in all my life of 37 years seen more disrespect to any president than we've seen with our president. You don't have to applaud, that's fine. I'm not after your approval. He's the only president that people don't call president, they call him Trump. And then they're like, hey, President Jimmy Carter shot golf today. They're calling a guy that was president 30 years ago president, but not the current president president. We have an honor problem in our nation. And then when we have an honor problem, we want to defund the police. This is where people get upset right now. I didn't say the police didn't have an honor problem. We all have honor problems. And the police need to honor the people they police. Listen, all of us need to honor one another. But here's the thing. And then we don't honor our school teachers. And our children don't honor our school teachers. I'd never seen in my entire life. We laid hands on the school teachers on the last first Sunday night. And I saw by the Spirit the dishonor and the witchcraft they endure on a regular basis. Blew me away. And then you drive home from church and you're dishonoring the church, you're dishonoring the pastor, you're dishonoring this, and you're wondering where your kids got it from. Have you ever been at a soccer game and seen a parent lose their mind? Come on, somebody. Getting arrested over an 8-year-old's goal? We have an honor problem. This isn't a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. This is a God's governing honor thing. So how do you know when to not listen to what an authority says, whether it be a local authority, whether it be a spiritual authority, whether it be your parents? Because a lot of times parents can say, you got to honor me. And really what they're saying is, I'm going to control you. So what do you do? So practical advice, this is what you do. You have to apply preferred honor. So anytime you're instructed to do something that dishonors God, you choose to honor God, preferring to honor him over honoring any man. So when the president said, I'm gonna ask everybody to not meet in groups larger than 10, for the first, he gave us 2 weeks and then they extended it one more week. So for 3 weeks, we honored what the president asked us to do. And then we have a governor that said, okay, you can meet in groups at 50% capacity. Thank God we live in Texas. And if you're watching on the online campus from a different state, I apologize. And so we got a 2,000-seat auditorium, so we were able to do that. So we were honoring the government. We were honoring what was asked. I had someone come to me, and they're like, you're forsaking the gathering of the saints. I was like, bro, you haven't been to church in 6 months. You're forsaking the gathering of the saints. I've been gathering every week. Let me break it down. Watch this. We're called to honor all people. 1 Peter 2:17, look at this. Honor everyone. Honor everyone. Can I pastor you? Dishonoring a person never honors the Lord. Dishonoring anyone never honors God. Most of all, honor is spiritual warfare. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is talking to Satan. Jesus goes into a fast. You will receive demonic attacks while you're fasting. It's part of it. It's part of learning to deny your flesh. Jesus is speaking to Satan, and Satan says this, I will give you all of this if you fall down and honor me. He said, if you will lower or devalue yourself, he said, then I will give you all of this. Watch, spiritual warfare is honor because it's the choice of who or what do you value the most. That is why it's spiritual warfare. Watch this. Satan dishonored God in the garden. The Pharisees dishonored Jesus constantly. And the Holy Spirit is the most dishonored member of the Trinity. There's entire denominations that are made up just to dishonor the Holy Spirit. In the garden in Genesis 3, Satan said to Adam and Eve, he said, did God really say? They said, yeah, God really said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree. And he said, no, God didn't say that. And they chose, watch, to value Satan over valuing God. Pharisees in John 8 said to Jesus, you're a devil. Whoo, you're full of demons. Jesus responds, said, I'm not a demon. You dishonor me and I honor my Father. Look at this. He was establishing the culture of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, through honor. There is a battle for your honor. It's a spiritual war. Why do you think it's so hard to give? Because it's spiritual warfare. Why do you think being pure is a challenge? Because there's demonic warfare around it. And what the enemy tries to do is the enemy tries to get you to dishonor or devalue. And listen to me, church, let me pastor you. If you dishonor, you're partnering with the demonic. Every time you dishonor, you partner with the demonic. Jesus never yelled and was rude to demons. Even when he's in the garden, even when he's in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, he's not yelling at Satan. Have you seen those ministers that are screaming at demons and doing all this stuff and doing all this craziness? Jesus just walked in honor. I said this in the first service. Jesus spoke kinder to Satan than most people do about the president. I'm not talking about what you agree and disagree with. I'm talking about honor. I'm talking about what you say and what you do glorifies God. Honor is spiritual warfare. And the only thing the devil wanted was Jesus to fall down. Listen, in proper spiritual warfare, you're not pulling down high towers and coming against demons. Proper spiritual warfare is assigning the proper value. Nah. What it means is you don't pull demonic strongholds down. You assign the correct honor and lift up godliness.
When I was young, worship team, come and join me. And immature. I was 18 years old, young minister. I was going through the second worst demonic attack I ever experienced in my life. The first when I was 18, the second I was 28. And the enemy, Jezebel, is just wreaking havoc on my family, our church, our lives. And everything was shaking. I'm a young minister and I'm driving home. I'm driving by myself and I'm just mad at the devil. Anyone ever just get mad at the devil before? I'm just mad at the devil. And I said, you know what, devil? F you, devil. But I said the granddaddy. And the moment I cursed, I heard an audible voice speak out loud to me and said, do you see what I'm doing? There's nothing you can do about it. I heard a demon talk to me. And my car was instantly freezing and the heat was on. All the hair on my neck stood up and I knew I was in a demonic presence. And so I ran into my house, I turned all the lights on, I laid on the carpet on my face and I just prayed in the Holy Ghost till I felt the peace come. And as I'm laying on the carpet, the Lord showed me a vision.
And in the vision, I'm standing in a forest fire and fires all around me. And I had arrows that were fiery arrows, and I was shooting the arrows into the forest fire. And the Holy Spirit said, son, you can't use the enemy's fiery darts against him. Hear me, church. You can't fight spiritual warfare with dishonor. You have to fight it with honor. I got wrecked in my daily encounter this week. Tuesday, the Lord was speaking to me just nonstop. Then Thursday, I'm running on the trail, Trinity Trail, praying in the Holy Ghost, because God speaks to you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for this community. I'm praying for Fort Worth. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows me a vision of me cursing at the devil, the fiery forest fire. And when the devil said, do you see what I'm doing? There's nothing you can do about it. And I'm running, facing the city of Fort Worth. And I heard the Lord speak to me. And he said, son, do you see what I'm doing? There's nothing you can do about it. I heard it again in my spirit. He said, do you see what I'm doing? There's nothing you can do about it. I heard the Lord speaking to demonic forces. Do you see what I'm doing in Fort Worth? There's nothing you can do about it. Do you see what I'm doing in Mercy Culture? There's nothing you can do about it. Do you see what I'm doing in the lives of my people? There's nothing you can do about it. Stand to your feet all over this place. Would you lift your hands to receive all over this place? Came to ask you a question. How have you dishonored God? And how have you dishonored people? And this morning, all over this place, as your pastor, I wanted to call you to a place of repentance. If you need to repent to your spouse, do it now. If you need to repent to the Lord, begin to do it now. Anything in your heart that hasn't pleased God, anything that's come out of your mouth that's been dishonored, any thoughts, anything that you've viewed that's been dishonorable, maybe you've withheld giving to the Lord and you've dishonored him. Whatever it is this morning, right now, repent before the Lord. I'm calling this church to a place of repentance, and we need to begin to engage in proper spiritual warfare, that we begin to battle through honor. Wherever you are, ask the Lord to forgive you. If you've been in sexual sin, ask the Lord to forgive you. If you've been in sin with your mouth and your words, ask the Lord to forgive you. His mercies are new every morning. He's so faithful. He's so kind. He's so good. Just ask him to forgive you right now. The government of heaven is established by assigning the honor of heaven. Where there was no honor, Jesus could not do miracles. But where there is honor, there's an abundance of miracles, an abundance of signs, abundance of wonders, an abundance of healing. Hear this today. Honor is what makes the way for the supernatural. When you are governed by heaven's honor, the supernatural invades earth. We're closing with this one question. Ask the Lord right where you're at.
One question. How can I honor you? Every single person all over this place, just begin to ask the Lord, how can I honor you? Don't think it, say it, whisper it all over this place. How can I honor you? Father, I pray honor would return to your people. Honor would return to your house. I pray because of the honor. Wow. I heard in my spirit this morning in the first service, some of you couldn't go back on social media without honor. I saw the vision this morning of these fires of honor going all throughout Fort Worth. Father, I pray right now that you would release your power on your people. I pray for miracles. I pray for healings. I pray for signs. I pray for wonders. I thank you that there is no limitation on your miraculous power, where there is no limitation on honor. And so, Father, we say all over this place, we sing forever. We honor you. Come on, all over this place. Ushers, open up the altars. If you want to come kneel, you can kneel. If you want to lay before the Lord, you can lay before the Lord. If you want to dance before the Lord, you can dance before the Lord. But all over this place, let's take a moment and with everything in us, begin to honor the Lord. Begin to honor the Lord with everything you have, with all that you are. Begin to honor the Lord. Father, teach us how to honor you. Teach us how to honor you. Teach us how to honor you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.